All right, good morning. So a few years ago, my son and I are watching a football game on TV, and unfortunately it was on live TV because kids today, especially young kids, they don't understand live TV. They've been spoiled with DVR, with fast forward, with rewind, with Netflix, all of those things. And so we're watching a football game on live TV, and a commercial came on. And I can see out of the corner of my eye my son looking at the TV, and then he'd look over at me, and then he looked back at the TV. And so finally I looked at him and I said, "What's up, man?" And he said, "Fast forward it." And I said, "I can't, man. It's on live TV." And he looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" Like, just totally blew his mind. Like, just, he was totally crushed. And I said, "Man, this football game is going on right now. Like, I can't fast forward through it." And then it dawned on him. And he said, "Oh, so we have to watch the commercials?" And I said, "Man, we do." Just totally crushed. And we as adults get that. Like, I know that some of you don't watch TV shows unless it's recorded because we're not patient enough to sit there and watch through the commercials. But every now and then, there's some commercials that come on that we're like, "Ooh, I actually enjoyed that. That was actually somewhat funny." And some that I've always enjoyed in the past are these right here, the Southwest Airlines. Does anybody remember their tagline, what that is? Anybody want to guess? $100? I'm kidding. No. "Want to get away." Okay, their tagline is "Want to get away." And so what they do is they put people in awkward positions or situations or conversations to where they just don't want to be there. They just want to get away. And one of my favorite commercials is a guy who's walking down the street, and he jumps into this car thinking it's his Uber driver, and he starts giving him directions. Well, come to find out it wasn't his Uber driver. This is actually what happens right here.
"Address should be there. 1800 Ann Street."
"Hello?
Yeah, it's your driver. I'm on the corner."
"Go! Go! Go!"
"What?
Those are the hostages!"
"Want to get away? Now you can with Southwest fares as low as 59.
And we've all been there, hadn't we? We've all been in situations like, maybe not rob, like jumping in an Uber driver and they're robbing a bank, but we've all been in situations where we're thinking, "Man, I don't want to be in that conversation. I don't want to be there. I'd just rather just crawl into a hole and just somehow get away." And I'm honored to speak to you this morning. As Dalen said, if you're a guest with us, joining us here online, we are so thankful that you are here. And I'm filling in for our full-time preaching minister, Jonathan Stormont. And normally I get excited about being able to preach or getting to travel to preach or teaching classes. This morning I wasn't near as excited about sharing this message because I'll just be honest with you. This is a message this morning that I really struggle with. And it's funny that we could go around the room right now and talk about want to get away moments. I mean, we could go to every individual in here and you could tell me a story of one time where you're in a conversation or a situation where you're like, "Man, that was so awkward. I did not want to be there." But do you know where else we find want to get away moments? And when we open this thing up right here, there's a lot of want to get away moments, awkward conversations right here in the scriptures. I mean, right when we open it up, we see where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" And they're like, "Ooh, want to get away?" And you continue to read with Moses at the burning bush, and he's trying to make excuses like, "Well, I don't speak very well." And God's like, "Oh, but you're going." And you know Moses is like, "Man, I don't want to be here right now. I have to go back to Egypt. I don't want to do that." We read about Sarah telling Abraham that Ishmael and Hagar have to go because of her jealousy. And you know, Abraham's like, "Man, come on." Or when Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son Isaac, like, want to get away. And so it's just all the stories that we read, the Israelites facing Goliath, or every time David came in contact with King Saul. And you continue to read. And then we transition into the New Testament. And you continue to see want to get away moments. But now these encounters are with Jesus. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to open your Bible, whether you're here or on your phone or whatever, watching on your couch. Open up your Bible because we're going to take a journey through the Gospel of Luke. And when you open up the Gospel of Luke, as well as all the Gospels for that matter, you see people are just rushing to Jesus. I mean, crowds and crowds of people are coming to him. They can't wait to hear what he's going to say next. His teachings are very challenging and in people's face, so to speak. And so, and he's not disappointing. He's talking about loving your enemies, not judging others, the wise and foolish builders. He's speaking parables about farmers spreading seed in different types of ground. And so people are rushing to hear what he's going to say. But let's be honest, why else are people rushing to Jesus? What else do they want? They want to see a miracle. And so we read at the beginning of Luke, all throughout Luke, where people are rushing to Jesus, and he's once again not disappointing. He's feeding the 5,000, he's raising a widow's son, he's calming the storm, he's raising a dead girl and healing people. And so people are rushing to him. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 5, we read where the crowds had gotten so crazy that Jesus had to get into a boat and they had to push him off of the bank a little bit. So the crowd's on the bank and Jesus is standing in a boat because it had gotten so out of control. And so up to this point, we see where basically everybody that's coming to Jesus seems to be getting what they want or what they need or what they ask for, whether it be a teaching or one-on-one conversation or a miracle in their life. But then we come to Luke chapter 10, and that's where we're going to start this morning. And this is where it all kind of changes, kind of a pivot in the story a little bit. Because up to this point, once again, it seems like Jesus is just handing out miracles and handing out answers. Like, oh, is that's what you want? Granted. Oh, you need that? Granted. And then Luke chapter 10, it all changes. And this is our first story of want to get away. And we're going to be talking about three. But in Luke chapter 10, this is what it says this morning with Martha and Mary, starting with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do. So she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." Okay, let's stop right there. Seems like a pretty legit request, right? Seems pretty easy. I mean, Jesus, you've been feeding the 5,000. You raised somebody from the dead. You calmed a storm. I'm just asking that my sister come and help me. I mean, she's sitting at your feet. I'm doing all the work, Lord. And she was probably expecting Jesus to say something like, "Yeah, you're right. You know, Mary, get up and help her. And then once you're done, then you can come sit at my feet," all of that. But man, she did not get the answer that she was looking for. Matter of fact, it turned into a want-to-get-away moment, because this is what the Lord said to her: "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her." And I just heard over here somebody say, "Ouch." Exactly. Imagine being Martha in this situation. All I'm asking is for her to come help me a little bit, Jesus. But not only did she not get the answer that she was expecting, Jesus said, no, you're the one in the wrong. She's the one in the right. Talk about a want-to-get-away moment. Why didn't she get the answer that she was expecting? Why is it that all of these people up to this point are rushing to Jesus and they're getting the miracle in their life? They're getting the answer that they're expecting, but not Martha. Martha was in an awkward situation, in an awkward conversation, and walked away upset with what Jesus had told her. And then we continue to read, once again, where people are running to Jesus and crowds of people are coming to Jesus. And then we come to our second want-to-get-away moment in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13. There's a man in a crowd, and he said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Okay, once again, stop right there. Seems pretty easy, right? Look, my father passed away. Just divide the inheritance 50-50. That seems fair. He's probably expecting Jesus to go, "Yeah, why would he want to keep all of it? Like, it needs to be divided halfway." But he didn't get the answer he was looking for either. Matter of fact, Jesus went into a parable and he said, "There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. And he began to think to himself, 'I don't have a place to keep all of my crops. What can I do?' 'This is what I'll do,' he told himself. 'I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store the grain and all of my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things that you have kept for yourself?" Imagine being this man in the crowd. "Hey, Lord, just tell my brother to divide the inheritance." But not only did he not get the answer he's looking for, Jesus goes into this parable talking about storing up things for yourself and being greedy and all of that. Like, whoa, I just needed a simple answer. Why didn't he get the answer that everybody else was getting? Why is his conversation different? Why did he find himself in a want-to-get-away moment? And you continue to read all through the Gospel of Luke after this encounter in Luke chapter 12, where once again, people are rushing to Jesus, getting what they want, getting what they need, walking away fulfilled or happy. And then we come across another story in Luke chapter 18. And this is what it says. A Jewish leader asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Respect your father and your mother." And the man replied, "Ever since I was young, I've obeyed all of these commandments." And when Jesus heard this, he said, "Oh, but there is still one more thing that you need to do. Sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad because he was a very rich man. And so all throughout the Gospels, we read where crowds of people, why is it that some people are rushing to Jesus over here? And it seems as if they're getting the answers that they need. But then the stories that we just read with Martha and the man in the crowd and the rich young ruler, how come they're not getting those answers? How come that some people are getting the miracles and they walk away fulfilled, and some people over here walk away sad and questioning what just happened? That's unfair. You read through the Gospels and you think, well, that's not right. Why is Jesus playing favorites? Truth is, all of these stories that we just read, as well as many others, with Martha, with the man in the crowd, with the rich young ruler, they have a common thread that holds all of these stories together, something that they all struggled with, the reason they got the answers that they got. And truth be told, it's a common thread that runs through this room this morning that we all struggle with. It's a common thread that runs through all of the people watching online. What is that common thread? What answer would we get if we had a conversation with Jesus? Hold on to that thought. I said this a couple years ago in a class. Kids today, man, they just don't realize how good they have it, do they? You know, with Wii's and Xboxes and PlayStations, and they've got 100 channels on TV to watch. They got iPads, all of these things. You know, when we grew up, we didn't have those things. We didn't have 100 channels or you know, Xboxes, Wii's, all of that. So as adults, what did we do for fun growing up? Does anybody remember? We played outside. I know kids, like, what are you talking about, played outside? There's games outside, absolutely. We couldn't wait to get outside as adults. Matter of fact, I can remember going to school and rushing home from school, and my parents are like, "Get outside, go play, get on your play clothes." And our play clothes were simply our old school clothes that didn't fit anymore. And so we're in there trying to get our play clothes on and get outside. But do you ever look back at some of the games that we used to play as kids and think, how are we still alive? How are we still here today? Like, God, thank you. It's a blessing that I'm still here. I'm going to pop a picture up on the screen here in just a second. I just want to see your face, okay? Because this was something popular where I grew up, something that we used to play with all of the time. And I'll be able to tell by looking at your face if it's something that you can relate to or something that you're going to be like, what are you talking about? You ready? Here we go. Just look at the screen. Bottle rockets. Raise your hand if you played with bottle rockets growing up. Oh, okay, yeah. We all need to say a prayer that we're still here, okay? And look, kids, don't do this at home. We didn't play with bottle rockets like, oh, we're going to put it in a Coke bottle and light it with the punk and step back and go, oh, that's pretty. No, what'd we do with them? We threw them at each other. We would divide into teams. I can still remember growing up in Lona, we'd divide into teams. We'd go to the playground, and we would throw them at each other. And I had gotten so good that I could light that firecracker and wait and toss it to where it'd go shoop, and pop right by my friend's head and be like, yeah. And my friend's like, that's a good one. Like, how are we still here? And we'd run out. I'd go to my parents, and they'd say, okay, I'll buy you some more. Do you want some Roman candles? Like, it was crazy. I mean, we had smoke bombs like grenades, and a couple of my friends had PVC pipes like they were, you know, bazookas shooting them out. I mean, it was nuts. Okay, we also played on these right here, played on trampolines. Anybody remember one of the most popular games growing up on a trampoline? Somebody said it, crack the egg. Okay, raise your hand if you ever played crack the egg. Okay, for kids that don't know, don't try this at home, kids. But for kids that don't understand what crack the egg is, basically it's pretty simple. You get one of your friends in the middle of a trampoline, you get into a ball, you get into the egg, and your friends circle around you, and they double bounce you, and they're trying to break the egg. For like 10 seconds, you have to hold it. But at any point during the 10 seconds when you're flipping around, going on your head, if you ever stop, do that, oh, they cracked the egg, you lost. Okay, but we didn't play on trampolines that looked like this. We didn't play with nice safety nets. Kids, this was our trampolines right here growing up. Okay, that was our trampolines. And sometimes the egg would just flip off the trampoline onto the ground. But you had to hold the egg. But that wasn't even the worst part, flying off the trampoline onto the ground. Y'all remember the worst part? Crack the egg on trampolines? These things right here. How many of you still have scars from this right here? You could pull up your sleeve and go, look at that kid, but I held my egg. There you go. I mean, we used to play tackle football with no pads. I mean, we used to play a pine cone game in Lone Oak where we'd grab a bunch of pine cones and scoop them to ourselves and divide them in teams and just throw them at each other. You know, whoever had the less blood won. I mean, it was just crazy stuff. But then you got to school, and our games at school weren't any better, okay? Our games at school were like Red Rover, Red Rover. We found out real quick, this is probably not a smart game. Even as little kids, we thought, ooh, do not call Big Billy over here. Don't call Big Billy. You call Little Sue over here. Don't call Billy. If you call Billy, I'm quitting, okay? But, you know, today kids have slides that look like this, that are plastic, you know, nice protection sides on them. This is our slides growing up, kids. That's what we slid on. Sometimes you fell off, but it made you tougher. And you could not slide on that slide from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. because you'd get third-degree burns on the back of your legs. You just couldn't do it. Okay, and the swing set back there. Okay, man, you get going so high on the swing set. And then once you reached your peak, what would we do, adults? We'd just jump out, okay? See how far you, kids, don't try this at home. I know what you're doing, like, hey, I'm going to play outside today. No, it's raining. Stay inside. Okay, but we used to launch out. I can remember being at recess one day and launching out and hitting the ground and rolling, and I looked up, and here came the teacher, and I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble. Teacher walked over there, I kid you not, and did this right here. That's where Cash got. See if y'all can beat it. It became a competition. It became a game. But there was one time during the week, a time slot, when you would not find any kid outside. Any kid outside. Does anybody remember that time slot, adults? Saturday mornings. Why not on a Saturday morning? Because cartoons came on. You'd see this on the TV. Kids, we didn't have cartoons 24/7. We had them on Saturday morning for a couple hours, and we'd rush in there and get our Captain Crunch cereal, whatever it was, and sit in front of that TV and watch these cartoons. And some of my favorites growing up, G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, Tom and Jerry, but by far, my favorite cartoon, okay, think of your favorite cartoon in your head right now. My favorite cartoon growing up was this one right here, The Roadrunner. Yes, raise your hand if you love The Roadrunner. We knew Wile E. Coyote was going to fail. We knew that he was never going to catch Roadrunner, but we just wanted to see him fail. It was like, ooh, let me see the schemes and the tactics that he does, and then when he failed, you're like, hey, more Captain Crunch. I mean, it was crazy. And you're probably thinking to yourself, what does this have anything to do with Want to Get Away? What does this have anything to do with Martha, with the man in the crowd, with the rich young ruler? It's pretty simple. I left you with a question just a few minutes ago. Why is it that some people are rushing to Jesus, and it seems as if they're getting the answers that they want, or the miracle in their life that they need, and they're walking away fulfilled, yet some people, it seems so unfair that Jesus is playing favorites. They're running to Jesus like the three stories that we just had, and they're not getting what they want. They're walking away confused and upset. Why? What's the difference in these two people or these two sides? Truth is, the stories that we just read this morning, all of them look like Wile E. Coyote. And Jesus knew it. He knew why they were asking the questions that they were asking. He knew what was really their main focus right here on this earth, what they were really chasing. The story of Martha and Mary, Jesus knew what Martha was really asking. Tell Mary to come help me. She was chasing her roadrunner. She was looking for attention. She was looking for some type of approval. In the story of the man in the crowd, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. Seems pretty easy, right? Yeah, it seems fair. Do you know what he was really chasing? Security. He's chasing possessions. And that's why Jesus went into the parable about building up barns and storing things away. You don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow. We all know that the rich young ruler, what his roadrunner was in life, he's chasing money, he's chasing power. And we continue to read, even in Luke chapter 22, we see where the apostles are running to Jesus. And they're saying, Jesus, who's going to be the greatest? In other words, when you set up your kingdom here on this earth, who's going to make what profit? Who's going to have what honor seats? In other words, they're saying, Jesus, rank us. Why are they asking that question? Because they're chasing status. And truth be told, this morning, that common thread that runs through all of those stories, they're all chasing their roadrunner. So are we. So are we. If we could take our pride away this morning, whether it be here or online, and you could be honest with yourself, we all want to act like we're Mary in that story. We all want to act like we're the ones sitting at the feet of Jesus. God, it's me and you. But truth be told, I'm Martha. Man, I want to be Mary in that story so bad. But I do chase attention. I do chase approval. That man in the crowd saying, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. I'm that man. Because I am chasing security. I am chasing possessions. You put me in the story with the rich young ruler, I'm chasing money. You put me in the story with the apostles, I'm saying the same thing as they are. Rank us, Jesus, because I'm competitive. Put me at the top. Because I have been deceived in this world today of believing if I could just catch my roadrunner, if I could just be that, if I could just look like that, if I could just accomplish that, everything would disappear. But I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of us have caught roadrunner, but we're still not happy. A lot of people in the world today have caught your roadrunner. You do have power. You do have money. You do have popularity. You do have attention. You do have approval. You do have status, but you still feel empty. You know why? Because the only thing that matters in this world today that's going to fulfill that peace and hope in your heart right now is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And there's somebody throughout the New Testament that we continue to read who was once a wily coyote, who was chasing things of this world. But they came to that truth as well. Two of the most popular scriptures in the world today. The first one that everybody can probably quote is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then a close second. Does anybody want to guess what the close second is? Philippians 4:13. Let's all say it together. Say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we say this all the time. We have this on posters in our rooms as kids growing up. Or, you know, oh, I can make the basketball team because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can get that job because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do we even know what the Apostle Paul is talking about? Do we even know the passage that is right before this, what he is saying? This is what it says. It says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, I've been on this side. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been over here where I've had popularity. I've had status. I've had approval. I've had money. I've been well-fed. I've been respected. But I've also been on this side, too, where all that's been stripped away in my life, where I don't have those things anymore. Not only that, but I've been shipwrecked. I've been mocked. I've been laughed at. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been starving. And he's saying, but it doesn't matter because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I'm not chasing a roadrunner in this world today because all I need is Jesus. And I know what you're thinking right now, whether in here or online. Well, that's pretty simple. That's a simple message. Well, I'm going to get blunt with all of us, including myself. Then why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we doing it? Why do we continue to act like we are Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, but when we leave this place, our life looks totally like Martha? We're chasing something in this world. Too many of us look like Wile E. Coyote. So I'm going to leave you with this question this morning before we have communion together. If you were to strip your pride away right now and be honest with yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and get real, what are you chasing? What are you chasing? What are you going to chase in this new year of 2021? Because this is a year where we all make New Year's resolutions and we kind of reset our life. What are you chasing right now? If you were to run to Jesus and have a one-on-one conversation with him and say, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he were to say, oh, you know, keep the commandments, do this and do that. And you were to say, oh, I've done all of those. But then Jesus were to look at you and go, oh, but there's one more thing you need to do. Stop chasing this. It's not going to bring you the peace and happiness that you think.